The sermon scripture, also Isaiah, also chapter 40. Skipped a middle portion, though. That's probably the violent stuff. Probably shouldn't do that when it comes to scriptural readings, you know. But we do it anyway. In fact, we do it all the time in ministry. Ooh, that's not any good. I'm not going to use that. And then you kind of skip to the end of the story. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Many in ministry, many of us find ourselves a bit confused on this particular Sunday. Maybe it's just me. Should we talk about Thanksgiving, or are we already on the way to Christmas? It's that in-between time. And these days it appears that Christmas is always just around the corner. And it's almost like Christmas comes right after Halloween. And these days, when I think about it, if you go to a lot of the shopping malls, that's exactly what's happening. However, according to the liturgical map, today is the first Sunday of Advent. It's the season of preparation for the birth of Jesus. So within the context of the church, today marks Christmas anticipation. In the marketplace, some of us, I did not incidentally join in the fun. My family didn't, so I guess I don't do it either. I suppose have to grow up with it. Some of you were out there welcoming the season by shopping about a week ago on Black Friday, and then this past week on Cyber Monday, we now have Giving Tuesday. I do have a sermon this morning, and first with the boom of the industrial age, and more recently with the explosion of technology. The frenzied pace of things has really gone wild. Try talking to any teenager or those 20 or 30-year-old millennia, those young people, and one will notice the short attention span. Libraries are filled not only with books, but with computers, and any student in college knows that information is completely accessible in the dorm room through the internet. Facebook, Google, Amazon, Netflix, cable streaming for gaming and movies and information, iPods, cell phones, text messaging, Twitter, Instagram. I've left out so many, I know it. And the wonders of the web have not helped us with the virtue of patience. We want everything in life right now and regard waiting as a form of laziness or inaction. The name of the game is instant gratification, including six-figure salaries, huge homes, high-end sports cars. When all of it arrives instantaneously, is there any joy in the journey, any satisfaction in the experience working to achieve these things? Modern technology is predicated on our desire to find a shortcut to everything. Dating services like Match.com and eHarmony promise to weed out undesirable traits so we don't waste time learning things that are bound to disappoint us. Condensed books, which have moved us even further from the good old Reader's Digest books, and you remember the notorious Cliff Notes that used to be used in school, to a quick read on any assigned Shakespeare play or Lincoln biography or Faulkner novel. These can now be acquired instantly on smartphones or Kindle, and they promise a quick read rather than getting a little deeper into the plot. Shopping by Amazon, recently joined by Walmart, provides overnight shipping. One can receive groceries, gadgets without leaving the safety of home. Debit and credit cards are perfect symbols of our age. We must have everything right now. We'll worry about paying for it later on. We just don't seem to look at some of these purchases that we make. The 60-inch smart plasma television with surround sound hooked up to the internet, and we can sit in the big room in the big house in the expensive gated community surrounded by our new entertainment center. How long will it take for the excitement and enthusiasm to wear off? This sermon, by the way, is being preached just as much to John Dowd as it is to anybody else. I want you to all know that. The problem with all of this, it goes beyond mere cynicism about the modern age in which we live. Philosophers and theologians have been trying for centuries to tell us that lives of meaning and significance are gradually marinated, slow-brewed, aged like good wine, carefully prepared over time rather than pressure-cooked, microwaved, or dished out to an assembly line of cars waiting in the fast food line. To look ahead at what might be but isn't yet, to plan a way to change tomorrow, to anticipate what is to come, and believe that we have the power to create a future, patiently waiting, taking time, hoping in possibilities. These things will sustain us when nothing else can. Well, last week, my family conducted our annual Thanksgiving ritual, heading south for a few days to Ann Arbor to enjoy the holiday, to sit at table for hours, hours on end with our beloved friends, to eat slowly, digest, and converse and celebrate one another's company. And we had such a wonderful time together until Saturday arrived with a certain football game, but we won't go there because, you know, it was not pretty for a certain... My wife was very depressed. But the food was great, and we have accomplished this ritual for over 30 years with our friends. Now, do we look at a certain loss with a certain University of Michigan football team and say, okay, we're never going to do this again? Do we give up? Do we refuse to attend and watch another game? Of course not. We anticipate that there will be a future win. We hope for victory. There is a future. Anything is possible. If ours is a civilization meant to survive, it will have to restore for us, as well as for future generations, our children and their children, the practice of delayed gratification, patience, anticipation, hoping. This means putting an end to getting and grabbing, hoarding and holding, becoming desensitized to others and to the world. We need to finish off the illusion that good things can be had quickly, that saving money is old-fashioned, and that victory and winning are all that matters. What about kindness and commitment to the welfare of others? What about patience and perseverance? What about nurturing the spirit, feeding the mind, caring for the soul? My mentor in ministry, he was a Nazarene minister from downstate, taught at Spring Arbor University, Free Methodist School. My mentor in ministry, Bill Wingate, he urged me on with hopeful optimism years and years ago. And he said, life is precious. It's so exciting. It's so filled with delight and possibility. Life is a trip. It's a journey, not just a destination. And wisdom is acquired slowly, carefully, over time, through study and experience. and above all, relationships. In fact, the journey is the destination. So we can hope for things close at hand. We can anticipate with pleasure the next meal, the day ahead, an afternoon nap, work and play, a night out with a friend. Living with hope is never a waste of time, and this time of year it teaches us that significant lesson, that anything is possible. And further, even while we look forward to Christmas in terms of the church year, we immediately move into anticipating the season of Epiphany, which leads us into the 40-day period of Lent, and then Easter, and then Pentecost. Round and round we go in the church, waiting and hoping for what life has in store for us. And through these church seasons, we will repeat that, what we call the sounding joy of the season, according to wisdom beyond understanding. The author of Ecclesiastes spoke about vanity and how our lives can become helpless and hopeless if filled with impossibilities. Perfect parents, perfect spouse, perfect children, perfect friends, perfect house and car, neighbor, perfect job, no worries, the life of ease and comfort, tranquility. These things are futile and are not to be confused with hope as a religious idea. It is not perfection, but peace of mind we seek, not perpetual happiness, but basic integrity and value, not a life of big screen entertainment and plastic surgery and up-to-the-minute news and nonstop excitement, but a life of meaning, living a life that matters. This much is certain. Life is so amazing if one is paying attention and if one takes time to anticipate and hope and believe in a future. While violence and hatred and cruelty may exist, consider healing and love and kindness. Look around this world at all the beauty. Listen to those who tell the truth. Find guidance in those institutions teaching love and forgiveness. The moments that take our breath, they are brief. From innocence into experience, it is a long day's journey into night. And for what it's worth, the kingdom of heaven, it is within us and about us, above us, below us. And if over time we have the good sense to acquire the gift of compassion, we will also discover that kingdom in others. In the meantime, which incidentally is all the time we really have, let us be patient and hopeful as the world unfolds. Amen.